You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Well, lucky us that we all got to see this movie, right?
You had a day to prep this, and that's the best you got.
Hey, here's my other intro. I could have done this instead. Hello, everybody. I'm here to review this movie Lucky Day with you. See, is that one better?
Yeah, I can roll that. What the fuck did we watch?
Dude, I don't know. That was the most ridiculous movie I've seen in a long time.
I literally was watching this, and I don't even know how to describe what I was seeing. I was texting, like, what the hell am I watching?
Well,
a good portion of it was garbage until the end.
Yeah, so for people who are curious, this is the movie Lucky Day. This is a big deal because it's the first, well, I guess first English language film, technically, from Roger Avery.
Is it?
Well, because here's the thing. So Roger Avery, for people who don't know, you might recognize that name. He was the co-writer of Pulp Fiction back in the day with Tarantino. So he is an Oscar winner for that case. And then he also did, believe it or not, he also wrote the script for the Silent Hill movie back in the day.
Wait, which one?
The first one.
Oh, okay, so the decent one.
Yeah, and then he also co-wrote Beowulf, the CG one.
Oh, God!
But then he didn't write anything for 10 years because, as I mentioned to everybody else, that, well, he got involved with a manslaughter charge. So he was in jail from, 2009 to 2014. So.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's no fun whatsoever. But he did come back to directing with a French film back in 2017. And then this is his first big, hey, Roger Avery is back doing movies again. Let's see how long he stays after how this movie's going to be received.
Yeah, after what we're calling Crank 3.
This movie wishes. I know there is a lot of really fun, wacky stuff in this movie.
Have you seen Crank 2? This is almost the same movie as Crank 2.
This movie wishes it went as crazy as the Crank films.
Yeah, so who wants to be bold? You know what, Davey, why don't you give it a shot here? What is this movie about?
Okay, so... The guy from the Point Break remake, Luke Bracey, stars.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the main character. Yeah. It's the dude from Point Break.
Oh, fuck.
I forgot about that.
And he's in Hacksaw Ridge, too, so.
We're not going to make fun of Hacksaw Ridge because that's a good movie.
No, it's not.
We are going to make fun of the Point Break remake because I saw that in theaters.
That movie was garbage.
That is your fault. Holy shit. What is wrong with y'all?
I was working at the movie theater at that time. That's my excuse.
Well, at least you didn't pay for it, so.
I don't have an excuse. I actually saw it.
Anyways, continue.
Luke Bracey from the Point Break remake and Nina Dobrev from the CW. They're a couple. They're a couple of married fellows. And Luke Bracey just got out of prison for 2 years for a bank heist that went a little wrong. Someone died, and it was pretty messy. So he took the fall for some of his compatriots and yada, yada, yada. So he's trying to have a nice first day back with his wife and his daughter. And it's all very sweet and they're all very happy. And then Crispin Glover shows up saying, the guy that died in the bank heist was my brother. So now I'm going to hunt you down ruthlessly and do everything in my power to kill you.
You see, and that's the funny thing is that what you're saying there about the whole revenge plot... That's not even clear until about 40 or 50 minutes into the movie.
No, that's not clear until the hour mark. Until, maybe the last 20 minutes when you figure out what the actual hell is going on. What the actual plot is several different dealing stories in which you have the guy that just got out of prison trying to deal with his wife. His wife is actually an art creator who's currently running an art gallery that's dealing with another subplot. The guy that got out of prison is also dealing with this crazy fucking parole officer. And then you have, again, Crispin Glover's character, who's basically at this point just a really efficient John Wick assassin that's going after certain people. So it's three random kind of stories that just coincide to this crazy climax.
Yeah, Crispin Glover, I feel like it's a case where Roger Avery saw, The Professional and wanted to make a cartoon character out of it kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, what if we took The Professional and a John Wick assassin or someone from, another Tarantino movie and just mashed him into one crazy gonzo lunatic? through this thing.
This is if Taika Waititi said, I can make a sequel to John Wick.
Yeah. Because,
it did feel very similar to The Professional, though. Like, the main character, it was just like, the guy didn't understand what The Professional was going for at all.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that Crispin Glover, like, when I made that joke about the French accents earlier on with my, you know, impersonation, that's exactly what Crispin Glover is doing in this movie, with that weird, like, I think he saw Steve Martin's Pink Panther movie and decided to use that as a reference.
Well, that's yeah, what, but I love, oh, sorry, I love what the movie does with it. I love what the movie does with it, because you're like, what the fuck is this guy on? And then someone explains to him, he's crazy! And I'm like, okay, great. This is that bar scene is the fucking one of the best scenes in the movie.
That bar scene is something else for sure.
Well, and the bartender at the bar scene was doing the same horrible accent, and then Nina Dobrev was doing the same horrible accent. It was like, all these people are clearly American. What are you doing?
Well, and from looking at Roger Avery's career, he is a humongous Francophile. Like, every single one of his movies, he's adapted a French play. He's had French characters and other stuff. Like, there's something about this dude that he's just obsessed with the French. Like, I have to assume that Bruce Willis's girlfriend in Pulp Fiction was entirely his idea because of this movie.
I mean, probably. But, yeah, like, it's weird to talk about this movie because we describe... The only way we can really talk about it is maybe going down the kind of three plot lines, because there's just a bunch of random series of events that's really difficult to explain with, like, because without actually just going through scene by scene what the actual fuck is going on. Because it's just a bunch of random bits until, like, basically about halfway through the movie where all the bits kind of line up. So it's like, I guess at this point, it's just what, like, favorite character. Like, the only way we can describe this is by just picking out random things we enjoy.
Well, Davey, why don't you start us off with a random bit? Like, tell us something that you thought about this movie.
I don't know. It's, like you're saying, like, it's all a bunch of different setups to one joke at the very end. And the third act is the punchline to all of these jokes at once.
Yeah.
Just a weird way to structure. It's a very, very weird way to structure a movie.
Yeah, it's. Oh, I don't know. Like, there's just so much stuff in here. Like, yeah, Nina Dobrev and her French character with their French daughter and their Latina, housekeeper who also knows French.
French. Dude, can we just talk about the start of this fucking movie, of the weird narration we're fucking getting by, I don't know who the fuck wrote the dialogue for this. Oh, that's the kid,
but it's written like a 30-year-old, but a child.
No, it's written by someone for Shakespearean plays, of like, on the second year, the 8th month of my life. I'm like, what the hell is this?
The dialogue in this movie was so bad.
It was bad in that way that I really, really, it's my favorite kind of bad dialogue, which is over dialogue written by someone who is trying so fucking hard to win an Independent Spirit Award.
Dude, it gets crazier.
And it's fantastic.
It gets crazier from there, because, like, immediately afterwards, like, oh, the one, you know, he meets up with his wife and then they have sex. And probably the weirdest sex scene I've ever seen in my goddamn life, to which the dog just keeps showing up.
Oh, you clearly have not seen enough foreign films then, because that was like, yeah. That's fine.
Dude, by the way, that's a 7-minute mark. I wrote it down because I paused the movie and I said, 7 minutes in, this is the weirdest fucking movie I've seen all year. Because with the narration, that's sexy. And then the maid just shows up.
And that wasn't even the weirdest part of the movie, funny enough. Like,
no.
But that's also a weird thing, is that when we say this movie is super weird, it almost has, like, spurts of weirdness at point. Like, the first third is pretty crazy throughout this movie. The middle third is actually pretty toned down for a big chunk of it. And then at the last third, that's when things just go totally off the walls crazy for the rest of it.
Oh, it goes nuts to a degree that's quite hilarious. But it also has some drop-dead hilarious moments. Like, there's a scene in the art gallery probably ended up being my favorite bit. Because you're dealing with a parole officer, and he just becomes an art historian out of nowhere. And I rewinded that.
That was probably my favorite bit of dialogue writing in the entire movie. And it's just... I don't know what Clifton Collins Jr. was doing with his character. It's just so... Again, we keep saying weird. It's just freaking weird how he's interpreting this character for this movie.
And his character wasn't bad either. His character was actually, like, one of the only entertaining parts of the movie.
Well, him, and I would say, like, the only guy who was actually, like, legitimately doing a good job acting in terms of, like, being a character was Clay Bennett as the friend of Luke Bracey's character.
Oh, he was good,
too. You gotta say his name right. Leroy.
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 Not Leroy, Leroy.
Leroy spelled L-E space R-O-I.
But, like, it feels like he came in thinking that this was a legit, like, gangster crime movie where everyone else was in this weird Pulp Fiction Looney Tunes cartoon the entire time.
But he is his own cartoon because he's the coolest motherfucker around. Like, that's his character. He's basically Denzel Washington, an American gangster. Like, and everyone is playing this weird-ass character. The only person that seems to be somewhat normal is the main guy because he's almost laughing at every single thing going on because it's such a weird cartoon world we're going in. For some reason, my daughter's just speaking French for some fucking reason. We're not in France. We're in America, as we have to say, because it's really, really odd that this is in America, because this would have fit if this was in, like, France or Europe or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just so strange. And then, on top of everything else that's super weird, we kept messaging about this between each other once we started watching the movie. What year does this take place in?
Dude, what time period? It fucking started to piss me off, because it's not one of those movies where right away, because you're just watching, you're like, whatever. This could be any time. Mm. And we're watching it, and I want to say 45 minute in, someone's playing an N64. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, but they're on like a full like 4K TV.
Yeah, yeah. So we're like, whoa, okay, now we got to pause the movie. Okay, now we got to break down the environment. Mm-hmm. What are they in the 90s right now? Because that would almost make some sort of sense. But they're literally playing on a flat screen TV mounted to a wall. So we're like, okay, this has to be 2007 to 2010. At one point, someone pulls out a flip phone. So we're like, okay, 2008. Yeah. But they got called for that flip phone by a rotary phone.
Yeah, and then Leroy was reading like a porno magazine, and in the top right it said like it was like July 1st, 1994 or something, which the N64 wasn't even out at that point.
Oh, 94.
Like, and also they directly referenced like a 1996 art installation, so it had to happen after that. And everyone's driving cars from the 70s.
Okay, that one. Yeah. Okay, but the thing is, that could just be where they are in the because there's a lowrider scene at this point. But that could just be where they are in like East LA or some, or California or some shit, or Florida, where people just drive old cars anyway. It was until the N64 pops up that it throws the whole movie into whack of what time period this is in, because then nothing makes sense.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to see
the answer.
I'd be curious to hear from some like a gun aficionado just to see if those guns were time period accurate.
What time period though?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but sorry, David. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just saying the answer is it doesn't matter. Mm. Roger Avery did not think about it, and neither should we.
No, there's inconsistencies, which makes this even funnier and weirder because it goes to my favorite. Like, because there's always that scene with assassins of, hey, walk into the room of guns. Every assassin movie ever has it. It's like a law at this point. But this is the weirdest fucking one because he's just pulling out, he's just talking about shit about a Glock gun because those guns are trash. But he's pulling out like C4 and all this stuff that it's like you couldn't really get in like the 90s, so it had to be 2000s and stuff. And goes to my favorite sniping scene of all goddamn time where he just pulls out the gun and starts pointing at random people on the street. And you don't know what this motherfucker's going to shoot.
Yeah, because they make it clear off the bat that Crispin Glover is a violent lunatic in this movie. Because right off the bat, when he tries to get a car, he like kills this crazy hipster dude early on. Which is like, okay, well, that's the bar we're setting for this kind of movie. He almost full-on decapitates him.
If I edited all of the Crispin Glover scenes and I put I told you this was the Joker movie, you would believe me.
Dude, he should have been the second pick if they couldn't get Joaquin Phoenix.
Like, might as well be Jack Nicholson's Joker.
He should have been the first pick. I feel like that would have been a much more interesting movie.
It would have been Jack Nicholson's Joker at that point.
And, you know, that's the thing with how crazy and weird Crispin Glover is. I would say he's the most watchable part of this movie. Like, it's just so off the wall insane with his character that I just had to see whatever he'd do next.
And he was having a blast with it. Every little interaction, you could tell he's trying to hide, like, this big shit-eating grin, because he is having the time of his life spouting the dumbest words you've ever heard.
Part of me thinks that some of this had to be improvised, and because there's a scene, the way the bar scene ends, I swear to God, when he walks out of, like, this bathroom, I'm pretty sure that entire dialogue was all improvised, and they just rolled with it.
Oh, it's great.
That was probably one of his best lines after that, after he walked out of the bathroom.
That's the thing, is like, I'm so caught in my opinion of this movie, because on the one hand, I don't think this is a great movie by any means, but of all the movies I've seen lately in terms of either good or bad movies, this is one that's definitely left an impression of being one of the weirdest and most fascinating movies to watch that we've had for this whole show.
this is one of those ones where it's like me, if you've ever had the conversation with me more than 10 minutes, I will bring up The Happening at some point of just how stupidly fucking weird that fucking movie is. This is one of those movies where if you actually look at this, this is a bad movie, but it's so weird and every single thing is done to this weird external cartoony degree. Like, there's a scene where he's driving down the street in a lowrider and it is the fucking funniest thing in the world. I won't spoil what's happening, but oh my God. It's every decision made is so hilariously weird that you're just like, what the fuck's happening next? Like, you don't even care there's no plot to this movie. You're like, whatever, what's the next fucking scene?
Yeah.
I don't feel it's as weird as something like The Happening, because The Happening feels weird in the way where it's like its brain is broken and it is just incorrect, and that's what makes it so fascinating. This movie, I feel like it's competent enough to not, to like have some semblance of structure and characters and rules.
You clearly didn't pay attention to the last action scene in the fucking the gallery. Oh my God, that's so fucking.
But it's not saying enough to stick to those rules, and it says, "Hey, we have these rules, but it'll be really fun if we do this thing." And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm gonna stop you from saying this is the same level of insanity as something like The Happening.
Oh, I. Hey, that's like my favorite bad movie of all time. I'm the expert on this one.
Yeah. No, but and there's other little nitpicky stuff that we could say too. Like, man, the soundtrack in this movie is so clearly Roger Avery trying to be a Pulp Fiction filmmaker, because it's like 60s surf rock throughout this entire thing. Just like, and there's of course so many gratuitous sequences where he's like trying to rip off Pulp Fiction. Like, the haircuts that all the ladies have are all very reminiscent. Like, well, specifically Nina Dobrev and the daughter, it's like, oh, that's clearly the character from Pulp Fiction, the girlfriend. Yeah. And then what's his name, Luke Bracey, singing to the song in the car kind of thing. It's just I feel like he just can't let go of that kind of movie he was trying to make back in the day. Yeah, which, I mean, to be fair, that's what people be known best for, because heaven knows people weren't watching Beowulf en masse, you know? Which, I'm assuming that's the only reason he got Crispin Glover to be on this film, because, well, I'm sure it doesn't take too
much. I mean, I don't know if he's doing much else besides American Gods.
Well, that is true, actually, now that I think about it.
I still think about Crispin Glover
I was going to say, I don't think anyone in this movie, as far as actors, like someone that's a big name, I think he was able to get everyone kind of on the low end. Because, like, yeah, there's no, like, big star power here.
No, even some of the minor acting and, like, the cameos and that stuff, like, what, Mark Dacascos or whatever, and a few other people show up, and it's like, yeah, they're all good actors. It's just no one would say, oh, we really need to get that guy in our movie right now, kind of thing.
Yeah, every actor in the movie is, like, the fifth build in a different movie.
Or a show.
Yeah, or a show.
Yeah, but sorry, Max, what were you saying, too?
I don't remember at this point. But no, honestly, I'm like, you know, Nina Dobrev isn't really like that high build either. Last thing I saw her in was Flatliners, which was not great either.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I forgot she was in that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters too. It was not great, but it wasn't bad.
I did too. A bad habit of seeing garbage at theaters.
Oh, and movie is a hot piece of shit.
Yeah, and I think the last thing we might have seen her on this show here was that Then Came You movie that came out last year with Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones.
I didn't see that.
I thought you saw that one, but
no, I've never seen a Missy Williams movie.
Okay, so that might have been Brad then who saw that one, but yeah, so she's around. She's just not getting the greatest work. But
yeah.
If it's a movie based on a book, Brad's seen it. If it's not based on a book, then it's not Brad.
Well, I mean, is there any other points to make before we start winding down our final thoughts? Because again, there is a lot of this movie that I would say is probably better to go in cold. But I don't think I could properly prepare anybody to watch this movie. It's just so, it is what it is. It's just such a strange little piece of filmmaking.
Yeah, the payoff was actually kind of entertaining. I was like on the edge of my seat, like just waiting to see what was going to happen with weird ass Crispin Glover. I was like, I really want to see where this goes. But I mean, the first hour was so bad.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like the first hour, it just has so many like fits and starts. Because again, it feels like it alternates between being a very violent cartoon and then trying to be a serious movie at points, but it really doesn't work at all. And then there's some other bizarre subplots, like the whole thing with the director of the art gallery and the wife. It's like, what is this?
With his that weird mustache?
Yeah, what was that? The pencil-drawn mustache on him? It's just,
why is this set in America? It's a question you'll ask yourself every fucking time.
This should have been a French comedy. This actually would have worked a lot better if this was actually a French comedy in Paris, I think.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Yeah, I think he clearly wanted to make that, but they're like, no, we got to sell this to the American audience. And I don't know.
Oh boy, you failed.
Or is it supposed to be like New York or something?
No, I think it's California.
Oh,
yeah, California. Yeah,
it's supposed to be
okay.
Some sort of, yeah, because the fucking gangsters that show up.
Yeah.
And I just can't, I can't underestimate how much everyone's just acting at 11. Like, even the extras and the other, like the gangster characters and that stuff, every single person is delivering their lines with, like, so much gusto. It's just, it's kind of admirable, almost, to see how much they're overacting in this movie.
Yeah, the housekeeper was overacting, like, super hard
by
the end.
She ends up having some of my... Like, again, every single person in this movie, even random people you don't think, are going to have just this cool scene that you'll remember. Like, every single person in this movie has a memorable scene.
Yeah.
There's not a single person I'm like, oh, I don't remember what they did. Everyone has, like, oh, yeah, that scene.
Well, then, why don't we wind down to final thoughts, then? Who wants to go first?
You know what? Since Davey apparently didn't like the movie, you go first.
I didn't dislike the movie. It's fine. I just think y'all are giving its weirdness a lot more credit than I think it's worth. I have seen a lot of weird movies in the past week. I saw Jojo Rabbit, and that was very weird, and I saw The Death of Dick Long, and that was very, very, very weird.
Wow, you have hit a bar. Yeah, you have a high bar of weird that you're clearing this week.
Yeah, that's probably why you don't think this is weird, because he's some weird-ass bullshit.
You should watch The Death of Dick Long. That's a deeply weird movie. And it's on VOD. I don't know if I recommend it yet. I still am processing that
one.
Oh,
is it actually available on VOD?
Yeah, it released on VOD yesterday.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, but this movie, it is a perfect... like, Sunday afternoon movie where you're like, I just want something that'll make me laugh and not think too much and be stupid and it'll be there and I'll say, yeah, that was fun. And then you go do something else. It is exactly what it sets out to be. It is nothing more. It is nothing less. It is admirable and it is somewhat forgettable, to me at least. So I give Lucky Day 5.5 out of 10 safes.
half a safe. How do you have half a safe? It's not safe anymore.
Depends on which half. If it's still on the floor, it's still safe.
Well, you know, I'll go next, just to let it be for you guys. You know, I'm actually not too far off from you, Davey. Like, I say I really like the weirdness of it, but I still say it's not a great movie. It's barely even a good movie, I would say. It's very strange. It's very weird. I laughed. I was baffled. I was confused. I enjoyed parts of it, but there were other parts, especially during the very middle with the art gallery, even though I liked some stuff happening in it, it really, really felt like it kind of drained some energy from the movie for a big chunk of that. And again, I can't overestimate how much that, like, Clay Bennett was, like, such a good actor in this that it actually almost worked against the movie for him to be a really good actor in this movie. like it's like, dude, you gotta ham it up a little bit compared to everybody else around you.
The bubble butts, man.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. Like, that guy was. He's just doing a different version of another, like, action movie stereotype.
I guess so. But, yeah, so I enjoyed it enough. I would definitely... I don't know if I would actually recommend it to somebody, but if people, like you said, if you want somebody who just wants like a crazy, gonzo, bizarre way to spend an hour and a half, there are much better, there are much worse options than this movie. Yeah. So I would give this about, probably the same as you, I would give this 5 out of 10, 5 out of 10, oh man, there's so many, I'm trying to cycle through my options of which crazy thing I want to talk about in this movie. You know, 5 out of 10 sliced off beards.
Ooh, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I love it.
All right. Alan, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. This is one of those movies where when I saw the trailer, I thought, oh, I'm going to get some cool ass action movie. And then as I'm watching it through, I'm like, okay, what am I getting? What the fuck? Okay, what the? Like, every fucking 5 minutes, I'm like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is that? And it just kept going. Every character, like I said, every character has a memorable scene, multiple in some cases. Not a single person on screen is ever wasted. Like, even the subplot with the art director has probably my favorite scene of overacting I've seen this year alone. Like, it's just one of those things where I want to break. Like, this is one of those movies where I'm like, I got to get a bunch of my buddies. They're like, yo, I found a gem, man. Y'all gotta watch this. This is some shit.
I think you found the next After Hours movie.
Oh, fuck yeah. As soon as I find a way to get this in the After Hours, we're fucking watching this. But yeah, like again, I don't necessarily want to echo what Justin's saying because I can't think of a negative thing in this movie because it's just it takes a, if you don't know what you're walking into, you're thinking you're walking into some like decently serious action movie. It takes about like less than 10 minutes. You know what the fuck you're watching.
Oh no, I knew 3 minutes in what I was going to watch.
Oh yeah, but at the 10 minute mark, I'm like, yo, what am I? Either you're there or you're not. After that bedroom scene, if you're not with the movie, you're never going to get it. But if you're laughing your ass off at the 10 minute mark, you are good to go for the rest of this weird ass movie.
Yeah,
because it does jump a lot between other points. So there might be other stuff you enjoy, but I'd be surprised if you walked out of this movie without at least enjoying 2/3 of it.
Okay, so what would you give for your final rating then?
I'd honestly just give it 7 out of 10 times and say what the fuck every 30 minutes. Like you'll just get like what the fuck is this? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest WTF was the way the bar scene ended because I'm just like, what just happened?
That scene. I'm pretty sure that was improvised.
Oh yeah, and it was that same guy from Iron Chef and Iron Wick 3 again. I was like, what? This dude keeps showing up again.
Oh yeah, that's where Mark Dacascos is.
He's also right, in yeah. Wu Assassin.
Yeah, yeah. That dude's a great martial artist, and he doesn't.
Yeah, that's what made me mad a little bit. Cause I'm like, oh, we're gonna get something. Nah,
nope.
He did that for a favor. He's like, yo, I need you for like 5 minutes. Can you be in my movie?
Oh boy, but then Max.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I was looking forward to this movie because I really like Nina Dobrev, and Vampire Diaries is like my favorite TV show of all time. So I was like, well, it'd be cool to see her.
Oh, that's where I recognized her from.
Yeah. Yep. That show was like 10 years long. I don't know how long it was, but there's way too many episodes pretty of close. That shit. I was looking forward to seeing Nina Dobrev again, and it really kind of annoyed me that she had like a really weird fake French accent the whole movie. I was expecting her to be just totally American.
What are you talking about, Max? Her accent was brilliant.
Right? And yeah, I didn't watch the trailer at all, so I had absolutely no idea what was going to happen. And then this is the first time I've seen Crispin Glover since Like Mike, like fucking years
ago. Oh yeah, that movie. Which
he's trying to steal the dude's fucking tennis shoes the whole movie.
Wait, what?
Oh, have you not seen Like Mike?
Sorry, I know I love Like Mike. I don't remember him.
He's the bad guy in that movie.
He's like the weird, really creepy bad guy that's like he runs the orphanage or whatever the whole time, and he's trying to like get money from the kid, like, because he gets so popular and good at basketball and everything. But anyway, no, it was I thought it was awful for the first hour. I was gonna give it like a 3 out of 10, but then the last act it was actually kind of entertaining. I was actually kind of into it by the end. So at this point I'd probably give it like a 5 out of 10 years left in parole. But it was cool though. Like the last bit actually was a decent, kind of shitty, mediocre action movie.
Well, okay, I gotta ask too. Not to fully spoil anything, but the last thing that happens in this movie is that's gotta be impossible to do because they would have collected all that stuff for evidence. The thing that happened at the very end of that movie, it's like.
Oh yeah, I laughed my ass off. There's no evidence about that.
That's the thing. Is like, oh, we sold off a bunch of this stuff. It's like, oh, you mean all the stuff that was part of an active shooting and crime scene? There's no. Who would buy that? How would you sell that stuff?
People on the internet would find a way. Like crime nerds are weird.
Oh no.
Well, no. He finessed the cops. He said this is just an art exhibit.
And the parole officer would have kind of gotten in trouble too. It's like, what happened to the people you were chasing? Besides the one guy that. Isn't here anymore.
Oh man.
Look, I'm not gonna sit here and try to argue this fucking movie. Like, what the hell do you want from me?
I just think it'd be a real fun movie to watch with friends though. Just like everybody would be talking to each other in fake French accents for like a month.
Yeah, I can't wait for someone like Nick or somebody from the After Hours to see this movie. They're going to just look at you and just like, what is this?
Like, legit, I got to find a way to get this because, like, it'll be a riot when this movie goes through.
Cut to the next 10 reviews we do, and Alan's doing a French accent the entire time.
Oh, I'll never do a French accent, but I'll bring this movie up every chance I get.
It's time for another episode of the Screener Squad.
This thing that is a good, I do not like it. That was more Italian.
Fuck it, we'll add it to the collage of accent this movie has.
I don't do accents, and Nina Dobrev shouldn't either. That's the point of the story.
Also, it reminds me, too, that Luke Bracey, that is his natural accent, too. I'm just like, oh, yeah, he is Australian. So
yeah, that kind of threw me off after seeing Little Monsters last night, where the entire cast was Australian. It seemed like the same kind of movie, just to kind of got like a weird Australian soap opera that he was coming out of. Because he didn't really fit with the rest of the movie either.
No, nobody fit in this movie, and it's just a bunch of awkward.
That's what made it work, is a bunch of random pieces just kind of like jumbled together into this mess of a narrative.
Yeah.